Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
Do you like what's happening in the government? Would you like to make a change? Should we vote? Should we march? Let's find out.
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua, the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
Greetings, I'm David Brett here with John Fisher, bringing you Revealing the Truth. I'm back from being very sick, and I'm happy to be back. I had the opportunity to watch some TV, and there are some candidates that are vying for the position of, you know, the Democratic position for president or Republican position for presidency. Mm-hmm. Also was looking at some signs from past elections, and one sign said, basically, today we march and tomorrow we vote. And I thought that was very interesting, and I thought about, you know, what we are to be like and what we are to be doing as a believing people in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, Scripture tells us that we are to seek Yahweh's kingdom first and His righteousness, mm-hmm. and the things that we desire will be added to us. Scripture does say that it's Yahweh that makes the decision who goes into office. And I'm talking, when we talk about voting and marching and these type of things, we're talking about political, governmental type of, you know, positions that are being voted on and promoted. I'm not talking about PTA meetings, you know, different business meetings. Those have to be done. But when it becomes, you know, a political issue,
right,
that we don't have time for that, I really don't think.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, political endeavors are trying to get what we want, you know, so that we can live the way we want to, and opposed to those people who want to do it differently. And it's about different principles, but yeah. It's basically all about what we can get for ourselves so that we can live the way we want to.
Well, the political candidates are saying, you know, well, I'm going to do this for our country. I'm going to do this. You know, in the state of Texas, I did this for them, and so I can do this for the rest of the country. Right. Well, this is all well and good, but there's not a candidate out there that is perfect.
Right.
And so who should we be vying for? Who should we be voting for? Who should be our king? Who is our king? Well, ultimately, we have a Heavenly Father that makes the rules. Mm-hmm. And we find in Daniel 2:21, it says, it is He who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge of to men of understanding. Also, Psalm 75 and verse 7, Elohim is a judge. He puts down and exalts another. So He's really the one involved in doing, you know, putting leaders in the positions that they are. Mm-hmm. And we're told without question that we are to be subservient, to be in the will of the laws of the land and to do these things. Romans 13, verses 1 through 4, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from Yahweh, and those which exist are established by Yahweh. Therefore, whoever exists authority has opposed the ordinance of Yahweh. You think there's some emphasis being put down here? And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you not, or do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you do, or it says, do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of Elohim to do you good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it is not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of Elohim, an avenger, who brings wrath to the one who practices evil.
So Obama is a minister for our, he's a minister to us?
Well, very interesting. Now, we're not going to be, in fact, we're told to pray for our leaders.
Right.
You know, that it might go well for us. That's the extent of our involvement. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, is to pray for the leaders, pray that there might be peace. But ultimately, Yahweh puts people in their position. Now, sometimes he'll submit to the people. Now, hear me out. This is our Heavenly Father we're talking about.
Right,
he is
right.
A merciful El. What happened with, going back in 1 Samuel, with Saul? Mm-hmm. It says they, in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5, it says they, speaking of the elders of Israel, said to him, speaking of Samuel, says, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. So who are we seeking to be a king over us? Are we seeking change through a leader in this political arena that we see? Or do we want to follow Yahweh's ways and those things which are going to be found in the coming kingdom? We should be living as we would in this coming kingdom. We are citizens, we are citizens of this country. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily claim to be a patriot, but I will defend my family. I will defend, against intruders if that comes down to it.
Right. Well, the scripture is clear that we must go by the laws of the land. We are mm-hmm. to do that. The only exception to that is if the laws of the land contradict the laws of Yahweh. As the two disciples who were punished said, we must obey Yahweh, not man.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a king who tells us what to do, who dictates to us what we are to do. But we are, by contract, we have a government that is of the people,
yeah,
by the people, and for the people. It is not a government of Yahweh, by Yahweh, or for Yahweh. And therein lies part of the difference.
Right. Where are our priorities? In Philippians 3:20, listen to this. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Master, Yahshua the Messiah, who is going to be the King who's going to rule in the coming kingdom. Mm-hmm. This has already been laid out in Scripture. We know this.
What law do you think he's going to rule by?
Yahweh's law.
Absolutely. He's going to rule by the law of Yahweh, and he's going to do it with an iron rod.
So
he's going to judge.
Yeah. So what was the message of the disciples? What was the message of the apostles? Going back even to John the Baptist, who started out saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Yahshua came, and he started preaching the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Repent. And then he told the disciples to do the same thing. And, of course, the disciples became apostles because mm-hmm. they were sent. They saw the risen Messiah.
Well, I need to say something here. Mm-hmm. On this word repent, it's the Hebrew word shub, which means to go back to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
It means return. It does not mean stop what you're doing because what you're doing is wrong. It means return to the ways of Yahweh. And John was saying, repent. He's chastised the Pharisees just like Yahshua did. I think he called them a brood of vipers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he chastised them because they were making up their own laws. the same thing that Yahshua chastised the Pharisees for, because they were making up their own laws, making the law of Yahweh of no effect, of no benefit, of no judgment.
Right. Matthew 15, Yahshua chided the the religious leaders at that time.
Right.
And, of course, you mentioned Peter, basically, who stated that we must obey Yahweh rather than man. That is found in Acts 5:28-29. It says, when they had brought them, they stood before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. Why did they have an aversion to the name? Well, they had a belief of ineffability, that is, ineffability of the name, that it was too righteous to be using of the Father's name, which we understand as Yahweh. The scholarship is out there. You look in the books. It's available. There's been a restoration, I think, of the name to the best of our ability to pronounce it. But there's been vowel pointing that's come in, and it's just, there's a whole history there. But the Savior's name holds the Father's name within it. It's the short poetic form. You can look up in Strong's Concordance. It's Strong's 3050, and it's the Yod and Hey, the Yah. Mm-hmm. Now, through some changes, shortening, you know, they had the New Testaments that we have, there's a shortening of names and such. They still held basically the pronunciation that was used, mm-hmm. but the vowel pointing came in and kind of distorted what should be said. So, I mean, that's a whole nother study. But the point is, the Pharisees back at this time, the religious leaders, just like religious leaders some today, do not want to use Yahweh's name. They also do not want to use the correct pronunciation, which holds the Father's name within it, in the Son's name. Mm-hmm. But it goes on in Acts 5:28-29. We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey Elohim rather than men. And that gets right back to what if it comes right down to it, what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They were told, hey, you're going to be thrown in the furnace unless give this false worship to our deity.
Right.
Well, they refused, and they said, you know, even if Yahweh destroys us, we're not going to bow down to your statue. And we have other accounts, you know, Daniel, you know, what was his, they made a decision back at that time to, you know, bow down to this other idol. That was a big thing back in ancient times. We don't necessarily deal with that unless you look at things that take us away from Yahweh. Those can be idols. But Daniel did what he had always done. After he had heard the news of, you know, this new law where everyone was going to have to bow down to this golden image, well, his response was not, you know, to picket or to gather up people to protest, to make an amendment to the law, to get another leader in there. It was simply to pray and focus on Yahweh. And this is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to share the word and to fulfill the commission that we've been given, and that is to share the news, the good news of the Messiah who came to forgive us of our past sins, and also to promote and let people know about the coming kingdom. These are two areas that we really do need to focus on. We do not need to focus on advocating a new president or prime minister or other political leader to try to make changes and force changes in the society. We are to share Yahweh's word as we are enabled to, and this means just simply focusing on Yahweh's will for us.
Did you know that the words immortal and soul are never found together in the Bible? Did you know the Bible teaches the soul that sins will die? The fact is, the idea of an immortal soul is man's idea. The Bible, however, does teach of a resurrection from the dead. To learn more, request your free mini-study entitled, Do You Have an Immortal Soul? Write to YAIY 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit us online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll free 1-877-642-4101.
So to reiterate the questions that we asked initially, should we march, should we vote? I think the answer is pretty clear, no, on both parts. However, there is a song that has been sung in many churches. It's that old song, Onward Christian Soldiers, and so on and so forth. Well, I think there is a basic message there that we are to teach what we're told to teach, and that is the coming kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the righteousness of Messiah and these type of things, and salvation through His name and no other. And that rubs people the wrong way, especially when we find out and we promote the history and what has happened to the Savior's name. People are very emotionally tied up in the name that is has really no meaning. And I say that with assurity that the name that does have meaning goes back to Yahshua. Now I looked up, just out of curiosity, not to get too far off track here, but I think this is important, looked up in a Bible program which has a number of resources. I typed in quotations, Yahweh is salvation. Typed that in and sent it, and it searched the whole database. There's at least 49 references to Yahweh as salvation. And what they were pointing to is Joshua, son of Nun, and Jesus, mm-hmm. the Messiah, is how they, or the Christ they would write.
Right.
So they understand, at least these that wrote that, they understand what the Savior's name is supposed to mean.
Right.
But the way it's given through the through the different languages, mm-hmm. does not come out as it would have originally been pronounced.
Right. Hebrew names have meanings. What's interesting also is that Isaiah and Yahshua basically have the same name. It's just that the different parts are reversed. The Savior's name is made up of two parts, Yahweh and Hosea. And putting together, it's Yahshua.
Mm-hmm.
Same name as Joshua, but of course there's no J's in Hebrew, never was and isn't now.
Yeah.
And so that is the name, the salvation of Yah. Isaiah's name is Yah's salvation. Yishiyah is how it's pronounced in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. So there's been some things that have happened, and we have literature on all of this history, so you can look up the resources for yourself and see whether or not we're speaking the truth. I think we all need to be Bereans, or like the Bereans, who looked up things to see whether or not what they heard was true or not.
Search the scriptures daily.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned, Elder John, about repentance and what that means. I want to get back to that.
Okay.
Because your definition, or what you say is the defining, you know, meaning of repentance, I think we need to back that up with Scripture.
Okay.
And I think we can.
It's all through the Scripture.
We've already read Philippians 3:20. I'll just reiterate. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Master Yahshua the Messiah." 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "Therefore, we are ambassadors." Now, if you're an ambassador, you have a country, mm-hmm. right?
You're in a country. you're
representing mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
Okay. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though Yahweh himself were making an appeal through us. Mm. We beg you, we beseech you, we plead with you, on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled with Yahweh." Come back to Yahweh. There's another translation. It's a New Living Translation. I think this reads a little more clearly. 2 Corinthians 5:20 again. "Keeping in mind, repentance, what was the call of the Messiah? What did he tell the disciples to? Going back to what John the Baptist was preaching, you know, repent. So we are Messiah's ambassadors. Yahweh is making his appeal through us. We speak for Messiah when we plead, come back to Yahweh. Just like what you were saying, John.
Yes, it's
come back, return, turn around. Stop doing your own will, start doing Yahweh's will. And this is really our focus. This, we want to do His will. We want to do what is pleasing in His sight. And there's so much confusion out there as to what that is. But it's in black and white. His instructions are very plain. And there doesn't have to be a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. I think there's confusion when people look at Paul's writings and think, oh, well, the law is done away with. Well, he himself said he was blameless concerning the law, and he set the example, and he said, follow me as I follow the Messiah. He says this in Acts, or 1 Corinthians chapter 11, mm-hmm. starting out there. He says, imitate me as I imitate the Messiah. The Messiah did not sin, and sin is a transgression of Yahweh's instructions.
Right.
You know, 1 John 4:3 or 3:4, I think it is there.
Right. Well, I mean, if he's saying for us to walk like he did, we're supposed to not disobey the law of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. We're to be obedient children.
Exactly.
You know, what does that mean, obedient children? If you're a father, if you're a mother, do you not want your children to be obedient to you? I mean, we're appealing to your common sense in saying this. And I think Yahweh is trying to reach out and help people to understand those that he is calling. He does give understanding. Mm-hmm. But it's his doing. It's not necessarily us. I mean, I think this is why in 2 Corinthians here it says, you know, as though Yahweh were making an appeal through us. It's his spirit. And this goes back to Zechariah, which says in chapter 4 and verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh. It's his spirit that's accomplishing these things. Just as he's able to put a king in place and take a king down and replace. Now, we probably should go back to Obama. And ask, you know, well, what's going on? Well, there are reasons why things are the way they are. In 1 Samuel 8, 11 through 18, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a laundry list of what the people's decision to have change brought on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was cause and effect. They picked up the end of one stick and they got the other end of that stick automatically. Mm. And Yahweh knew exactly how Saul was going to deal with the people. And he said, look, they're rejecting me. I'm going to go ahead and give them their wish. Why? To teach them a lesson. And I think we're learning a lesson. Mm. That we cannot manage ourselves. Not taking Yahweh out of the picture, not seeking him as a king brings dire consequences to us as a people. We really need to turn around and start seeking Yahweh, because you know, time is running out for this world. I mean, it's just in a mess, but Yahweh is allowing it to take place. But I want to touch upon a few things here in 1 Samuel 8. Let's start with verse 14 through 18. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards. This is speaking of Saul, the king that the people demanded as a king over them, so they could be like the rest of the nations. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and the donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks and yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh will not answer you in that day.
Mm.
And again, it's to teach them a lesson. Now, one of the things that we're going to see before at the close of the end of the age is tribulation. And I think it's going to take that, really, to wake a lot of people up. But I think some people are starting to see the signs, troubles, mm-hmm. as being a bit of the, close of the age. These things can manifest the prophecies that we see, like the mark of the beast, someone mm-hmm. having, the rulership and demanding that everyone have this mark, otherwise you can't buy or sell. This economic trouble that we're having can mm-hmm. certainly bring something like that along.
Yeah. We believe that Yahweh does put in place those who rule the land. Mm-hmm. And does that mean that everyone that he chooses is going to be for us? not necessarily. If we read in Romans chapter 9, beginning verse 16, so then it is not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of Yahweh who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens as well. So the Pharaoh was not very pleasant to the Israelites. This is the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Mm-hmm. And they struggled. They were slaves. They were beaten and tortured and murdered. And as a result, Yahweh was able to come in and demonstrate his power and his will for those who worshiped him.
Hmm. Senator, I heard that his name may be proclaimed. Had read that?
No, I don't think so. I didn't read that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name may be declared in all the earth. Sorry.
Yeah. So am I mistaken? Did Yahweh want his name to be known? And yet, and I know this isn't the main subject matter, but mm-hmm. we brought up the name, and we should just mention, look, Yahweh is not wanting us to cover up his name. Mm-hmm. And yet that is what has happened. And it's in the history books as to what has happened. Mm-hmm. But with this cold that I've had, it's starting to affect my voice, yeah. And I see that we're running out of time. We've only got about a minute left.
Okay.
So I don't know, John, have we answered the question, should we vote, should we march, should we be politically involved and take away from our time with Yahweh and promoting his word and his coming kingdom?
Well, that's a good question.
In his name?
I wouldn't personally denigrate anyone who does vote, knowing that we're all flesh. But what kingdom are we a part of? What kingdom, by what rules and what laws do we want to demonstrate the kingdom that we belong to? Just the will of the people who cover us? Or do we want to live according to the laws of Yahweh? I vote for the laws of Yahweh.
I do too. And Yahshua the Messiah in his prayer said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, your kingdom come."
Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.